April 28th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Judges, chapter 8, verse 18, through chapter 9, verse 21. Here's an overview of what's been going on in these chapters. You know, it takes all kinds to make a nation or a church. And a leader like Gideon or like you must know how to handle each person, each situation, especially after a great victory, because he had to deal with the critical. They were angry with Gideon because they were left out and did not share in the glory. Well, Gideon tactfully gave them the soft answer that healed the wounds and prevented division. Better to do that than to start another war. We find the book of Proverbs is really true after all. A soft answer turns away wrath. Gideon had to deal with the cynical. They said, "You have not yet won the battle, so why should we help you?" The world today will say, "Hey, you're not number one, why should we help you?" The men of Succoth had no faith in God or appreciation for Gideon and his men, and their lack of love cost them dearly. And Gideon had to deal with the cowardly. Executing two famous kings would be a great way to start a military career, but the lad was too immature and young to carry it out. We wonder if Gideon remembered his own fears and God's patience with him. And then he's going to have to deal with the compromising and the fact that he was the cause of it. Unlike Abraham, Gideon becomes covetous and asks for a generous share of the loot. And this leads to idolatry and apostasy because the heart of man is ever ready to indulge in sin. And then as we get into chapter 9 of the book of Judges, we see that Gideon was a leader called of God, but Abimelech appointed himself and murdered his own brothers to become the leader. Absalom and Adonijah would make this mistake and pay for it dearly. Jotham's parable reveals that there is a price to pay for true leadership. Others had paid the price for Abimelech to rule, but he had sacrificed nothing himself. A true leader must often sacrifice riches, sweetness, and joyfulness to serve the people. But if good men and women will not pay the price and lead, well, we have to settle for the bramble. Abimelech's sin catches up with him, but he certainly did a lot of damage on the way, damage to his family and to his people. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. April 28th, Judges chapter 8, verse 18, through chapter 9, verse 21. Then Gideon asked Zeba and Zalmunna, "The men you killed at Tabor, what were they like?" "Like you," they replied. "They all had the look of a king's son." "They were my brothers," Gideon exclaimed. "As surely as the Lord lives, I wouldn't kill you if you hadn't killed them." Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, "Kill them." But Jether did not draw his sword, for he was only a boy and was afraid. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, "Don't ask a boy to do a man's job. Do it yourself." So Gideon killed them both and took the royal ornaments from the necks of their camels. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, "Be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian." But Gideon replied, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you. However, I have one request. Each of you can give me an earring out of the treasures you collected from your fallen enemies." The enemies, being Ishmaelites, all wore gold earrings. "Gladly," they replied. They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in a gold earring he had gathered. The weight of the gold earrings was 43 pounds, not including the crescents and pendants, the royal clothing of the kings, or the chains around the necks of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. That is the story of how Israel subdued Midian, which never recovered. Throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, the land was at peace. Then Gideon, son of Joash, returned home. He had 70 sons, for he had many wives. He also had a concubine in Shechem, who bore him a son named Abimelech. Gideon died when he was very old, and he was buried in the grave of his father Joash at Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer. As soon as Gideon was dead, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshipping the images of Baal, making Baal-berith their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. Nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good he had done for Israel. One day, Gideon's son, Abimelech, went to Shechem to visit his mother's brothers. He said to them and to the rest of his mother's family, "Ask the people of Shechem whether they want to be ruled by all 70 of Gideon's sons or by one man. And remember, I am your own flesh and blood." So Abimelech's uncles spoke to all the people of Shechem on his behalf. And after listening to their proposal, they decided in favor of Abimelech because he was their relative. They gave him 70 silver coins from the temple of Baal-berith, which he used to hire some soldiers who agreed to follow him. He took the soldiers to his father's home at Ophrah, and there, on one stone, they killed all 70 of his half-brothers. But the youngest brother, Jotham, escaped and hid. Then the people of Shechem and Beth Millo called a meeting under the oak beside the pillar at Shechem and made Abimelech their king. When Jotham heard about this, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted, "Listen to me, people of Shechem, listen to me if you want God to listen to you. Once upon a time the trees decided to elect a king. First they said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.' But it refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then they said to the fig tree, 'You be our king.' But the fig tree also refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing my sweet fruit just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then they said to the grapevine, 'You be our king.' But the grapevine replied, 'Should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then all the trees finally turned to the thorn bush and said, 'Come, you be our king.' And the thorn bush replied, 'If you truly want to make me your king, come and take shelter in my shade. If not, let fire come out from me and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now make sure you have acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech your king, and that you have done right by Gideon and all of his descendants. Have you treated my father with the honor he deserves? For he fought for you and risked his life when he rescued you from the Midianites. But now you have revolted against my father and his descendants, killing his 70 sons on one stone. And you have chosen his slave woman's son, Abimelech, to be your king, just because he is your relative. If you have acted honorably and in good faith toward Gideon and his descendants, then may you find joy in Abimelech, and may he find joy in you. But if you have not acted in good faith, then may fire come out from Abimelech and devour the people of Shechem and Beth Millo. And may fire come out from the people of Shechem and Beth Millo and devour Abimelech.' Then Jotham escaped and lived in Beer, because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech." April 28th. We turn our attention now to the New Testament, where today we'll be narrating from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 44, all the way through chapter 24, verse 12. Jesus is on the cross, and he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." The thief, though, exercises great faith, and he asks Jesus to remember him. For Jesus did not look like he was able to save anybody. That's a great faith on the part of the thief. And Joseph of Arimathea, he exercises great courage when he openly took our Lord's body from the cross. He defiled himself for Passover week, but it made no difference. He had met the Lamb of God, and to Joseph of Arimathea, that was all that mattered. And as we continue on in the 24th chapter of Luke, we'll read about forgetting his word. The stone was rolled away, the body of Jesus was gone, and the women were perplexed. Why? Because they had forgotten His word. Today, angels do not come to remind us of His word. The Holy Spirit has that ministry. Yield to the Spirit and let Him remind you of the promises that will encourage your heart. And now we turn to the Word of God for our reading in the New Testament. April 28th, the book of Luke chapter 23 verse 44 through chapter 24 verse 12. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the thick veil hanging in the temple was torn apart. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the captain of the Roman soldiers handling the execution saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw all that had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he had been waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation for the Sabbath. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where they placed his body. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to embalm him. But by the time they were finished, it was the Sabbath. So they rested all that day as required by the law. But very early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day?" Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several others. They told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Today we're reading Psalm chapter 99, verses 1 through 9. And it talks about the fact that He is holy, and He is high and lifted up. Therefore, give God the honor due His holy name, and fear Him. The greatness of God makes the earth shake, and it should make the people tremble. Even the demons tremble when they think of God. It's frightening to hear how carelessly many people speak about God or to God. It's even more frightening to see how carelessly people live, as though God will never require an accounting from them. We are to exalt God. The Lord is exalted in strength, righteousness, and holiness. One way to exalt Him is by your worship. But you must back that up by a consistent walk. Christ should be magnified in your body so that the lost around you may realize how great He is. And then we'll find that we are to call on Him. Three great men of prayer are mentioned to encourage you in your praying. They were not perfect, these men, but they heard God's word, obeyed it, and God answered when they called. And He will answer us today. The word of God and prayer must always go together. And so must prayer and obedience. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 9. The Lord is King. Let the nations tremble. He sits on His throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. The Lord sits in majesty in Jerusalem, supreme above all the nations. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. Mighty King, lover of justice, You have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before His feet, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among His priests. Samuel also called on His name. They cried to the Lord for help, and He answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud, and they followed the decrees and principles He gave them. O Lord our God, You answered them. You were a forgiving God, but You punished them when they went wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain in Jerusalem, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy.